get into this passage in Ephesians today, I want to start off by asking you two questions. Two questions. They'll come up on the screen in just a little second. It catches up. There we go. If you pop onto the next slide, Alice, that'd be great. The first question is, what does your church family need the most? Okay, so just have a little think for a moment. What do you think our church family needs the most? And then, what do you pray most often for? My guess is that if we reflect on those two answers, we'll probably all admit that what our church family needs the most is often quite different from what we actually pray for. If I was to do a survey at the door on the way in and say to you, you know, what does our church family need the most? Do we need, you know, God's healing? Do we need, you know, wealth or security in our jobs or whatever it might be? There would probably be a general consensus that says, no, there's more important things that we need. We need a real sense of unity as a church. We need a real sense of how much God loves us as a church. We need to be growing in spiritual maturity. These are the kind of things that we need. But yet so often our prayer lives can be about requests, and there's nothing wrong with, you know, asking that God would help somebody when they're sick. But sometimes our prayer lives can be boiled down to that's all it is. And we can be a bit like the Gruffalo and the Mouse, where we kind of look at the picture and we go, oh, the Gruffalo is definitely the strongest because he's the biggest. And we look only at the outside. But we actually forget the fact that the mouse was smart enough to, you know, get away and trick the Gruffalo. You're all desperate to go home and read the Gruffalo again, aren't you? I can just tell. It's like grown-ups becoming kids again. We can so quickly look at the external, so quickly look at the outside, so quickly look at the pressing need that's there in somebody's life, that all we pray for is that their physical circumstances would change. Lord, would you make that person better? It's a good prayer. It's a good prayer that God would display his power and healing. But if that's all we desire for that person, if that's all we wish for that person is that they would know physical health, then our prayers for that person are falling short of what they could be. Yes, we can pray that that person feels better, but also, Lord, would they know in what they're going through how much you love them, how near you are to them, how close you are? Would you strengthen them? Would you be with them, not just in the physical realm, but would you be with them spiritually? Would they know your nearness, your presence? And you see, this prayer that we're going to read just now, that Paul prays for the Ephesians, it comes right at a hinge point in the letter. The first part of the letter, Paul's been telling them all this stuff about who they are. He's been telling them that they have been predestined, they've been adopted as sons, they've been bought at a price, they have obtained an inheritance. He's telling them that they have been saved by grace. All of these things that are true come in chapters 1, 2, and the first part of 3. Then, from 4 onwards, after this prayer, he goes on and he says, therefore, I want you to live a certain way. And this prayer comes right in the middle. And I don't think that's by accident. I think Paul's saying, I'm telling you a whole load of truths about who you are in Christ. And now I'm going to tell you about how that works out in your real life. And it's hard making it all work out in your real life. It's hard to live as a Christian. It's hard to live for him in the face of a culture that doesn't want to know. It's hard sometimes to even believe the promises are true because the weight of what we are going through at the point just seems as if it is almost about to crush us. And right in the middle, Paul tells the Ephesians what he's praying for. And he says, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So what does Paul pray for? Well, he prays for three things. And the first one really is the kind of the root and the other things flow out from it. The first thing he prays for is for strength in their inner being. And then he goes on and he says that he wants them to know Christ's presence, that Christ may dwell in their hearts. And he wants them to know Christ's love, that they might comprehend and understand just how much Christ loves them. But strength in their inner being is like the root that then enables them to know Christ's presence and know Christ's love. And don't get me wrong, the examples that I've given so far are examples of when life is tough, we need to know God's strength. But there's actually a real sense in which, even when life is going really well, we also still need to know Christ's strength. It's not just about praying for strength when we're finding it hard, but also about when we're finding it good. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm finding it hard, that's the points when I really am driven to prayer. But sometimes when things are going fine and things are going okay, those are the points when I start to drift into Thomas has got this mode. I've got it covered. Life's all right for now. And I drift into that kind of mode that says, my strength's enough for this season. Because there is no big storm, and there is no big stress, and there is no big pressure. And I can very quickly drift into this sense of, I'm okay. I can do this in my strength. And so these prayers for one another, for physical strength, for spiritual strength, should not simply be prayers that we decide to pray when we hear somebody's in crisis. But these should be prayers that become part of our everyday talk with God. Thinking about brothers and sisters and asking that God would strengthen them. Asking that God would be active in their lives, building them up. Paul prays for spiritual strength because there's a sense in which that is where the battle is. That's where the battle is. How many times have we seen people just walk away from their faith? How many times have we seen people who have been so zealous and so committed to following Jesus, but then for some reason they've just drifted away from their faith? When a particular situation comes along, when the Word of God challenges a particular area of their life very deeply, when a trial comes, we need to be strengthened in our inner being. That is where the battle is. Because we need strength as Christians to keep on going. And if we don't know that, then there's maybe a misunderstanding about the gospel. Because the gospel is not something that says come to Jesus and then keep on following him in your own strength. The gospel is one that says, come to Jesus, he will forgive you, and he will give you the strength to carry on following him. It is his strength that enables us to keep on going, and so we need to pray that he would give us that. And sometimes when we feel as though I'm not really in that much need of God's strength today, things are going fine. Perhaps we've just become too comfortable with the way the world is. And we've kind of got into a comfort zone that's not all that healthy. So where does this strength come from? It comes from our Father, verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. He is the one that we come to when we come in prayer. And notice that this Father, verse 15, is the one from which every family on heaven and on earth is named. Every family in the whole of our world comes from this Father. And so we are going to the very source. When we come in prayer to our God, we are coming to the very source, the one who is above all families and all peoples that are on our earth. And we pray that according to the riches of his glory, he would grant us strength. You know, one of the brilliant things about our God is that he can grant us out of his riches strength. But his riches are never depleted. He can pour strength out on you and out on me, but he doesn't become any weaker. It's not like a transfer. Like if I move money from my bank account into another bank account becomes weaker and somebody else's becomes healthier. God pours out his strength on his people, and he remains unchanged. His resource is undepleted, despite the fact he pours out strength on his people. And the great thing about that is that there's no limit then to the strength that he can pour out. There is no limit to the strength that he can give to his people. And so there is never an excuse that says, oh, I've asked for that too many times, you know, I'm worried now, you know, just in case the strength reserve in heaven is starting to get low, we need to top it up again. Doesn't work that way. Or you might be going through a particularly trying time where you really feel as if you need strength, like you have never had strength before. Take comfort. But our God's abundance exceeds your need. And he can give you the strength that you require, and he is still not depleted. It is according to the riches of his glory. It doesn't deplete it. It is according to it. It is just so wonderful to imagine that we have a God who strengthens us with his power. And so we pray to our Father God. And how does our Father God strengthen us? Well, he does it through the Holy Spirit. That's what it tells us at the end of verse 16. That we would be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. It is the Holy Spirit coming into our lives and filling us and refilling us afresh that strengthens us for each and every day. We see all persons of the Trinity in this passage. We're praying to the Father that the Spirit might strengthen us so that Christ may dwell in our hearts. It is glorious to see Father, Son, and Spirit working in your individual life. Think about that for a moment. That the eternal God, three in one, would be so active in your life and in the life of your brothers and sisters that we can pray to our Father that his Spirit would strengthen you and that Christ would dwell in your hearts. I mean, talk about the vastness of eternity becoming real right now. It's like in your own life, in your own situation. And we have a tendency to go, oh, you know, I'm going through this at the moment, but don't worry about it, it's not that big a deal. The eternal God, who has always been and will always be, he is so personal to me and to you that he can strengthen you in your inner being. He can give you strength. And as he gives you strength to face whatever you are facing, whether it's joyful, good times, whether it is challenging, trialing times, he wants to give you that strength so that you might know Christ's presence, so that you might know the presence of God. Sorry, skip on the next one, I missed that bit. There we go. So you will know Christ's presence. What's the result of this kind of prayer? Well, it's to be filled with the fullness of God. It is that Christ may dwell in your hearts. It is to be filled with the fullness of God. You know, Jesus, when he took on flesh, was filled with the fullness of God. He was able to take on the full deity of Christ, of full deity of God, when he came as a man. He had a capacity for fullness that enabled him to be both fully God and fully man. Now, we do not have that same capacity. And we took James down to Killeen Castle a couple of weeks ago. We were down on the rocks, rock pulling, looking for crabs and doing all that kind of stuff. And we're standing at the west coast and we're looking out over the vastness of the sea. And it was a reasonably cloudy and bleak day on the west coast of Scotland, so we couldn't see anything beyond the sea. We know there's stuff out there, but we couldn't see it. All we could see was water. James filled up his bucket. The bucket was full, but yet the sea kept coming to the same point. Christ's capacity to take on the fullness of God meant that he was both God and man. We don't have that same capacity, but we can still be filled. We can still be filled with Jesus living in us, that he can dwell in our hearts. He can actually live there. We talk about God's presence, and sometimes, you know, it can sound like this kind of theoretical thing. Or we can sort of almost glibly say, oh, God's with you. Have we got our head around the fact that our Savior Jesus pitches up tent and dwells in our hearts? And when we face whatever we face, God's presence is not a theoretical thing. He's living there. He's living there. He dwells in our hearts. He is in you as a Christian. And Paul doesn't want people to be filled just a little bit, but he wants them to have Christ move in as King of their lives. To fill them, to rule them, to reign over them. So that prayer for strength in our inner being, as the Holy Spirit strengthens us, gives us a knowledge of Christ's presence, but it also gives us a knowledge of Christ's love. This new life of the Christian is a life that is characterized by love. And what we see when we read the likes of 1 John 4:7 is that we see that love comes from God. It is from him. Let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Love is a spiritual gift that comes from the Lord. But in this passage, Paul's not encouraging the church to have greater love for other people. He says we should pray for that in other places in the New Testament. But here, he's saying that he wants us to know how much we are loved by Christ. He wants us to comprehend verse 18. With all the saints, what is the breadth and length and height and depth? And to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. This love that God has for us, we can so easily boil down to a kind of cute, sentimental, emotional love. But Christ's love for you goes way beyond that. Christ's love for you goes to the place where he would seek you, pursue you, chase after you. Christ's love will go to the place where he would see himself die so that he could have a relationship with you. Christ's love for you would endure torture, would endure pain, would endure guilt, would endure shame, so that he could call you a son or a daughter. Christ's love for you is a love that no matter how unfaithful you are, he always, always responds to you with faithfulness. Christ's love for you is so vast, so deep, so wide, so high that our human minds cannot even begin to comprehend it. I've known what it is and continue to know what it is to be loved by other people. We know that, don't we? What is the love of a parent, the love of a child, the love of siblings, the love of friends, the love of a spouse. That love that we just can't put into words, that love that we can't really describe, that love that, you know, if I had Russell's sort of talents, would cause me to write a song, because you can't simply just express it with words. That love that fills our hearts, captures us, that we can't imagine life without this person and without this love and without all that they've done for us. And that, as wonderful as it is the smallest glimpse of the love that Christ has for you. It's the smallest glimpse of the love that Christ has for you. It is the most immense truth in the whole of the world. That an eternal God who made us would love you and love me in a way that goes far, far beyond our understanding. In a way that goes far, far beyond our emotion. To a way that penetrates our hearts and our minds. And we're left in wonder. Because how could he, so powerful and so perfect and so holy and so righteous and so good, how could he love me that way? And how could he show me his love in such deep, deep commitment towards me? We are praying for spiritual strength, that we might know Christ's presence with us, and that we might somehow have our minds opened a little bit more into how great his love is. Because this kind of prayer lifts our eyes beyond the prayer for the material or the prayer for the physical. It lifts our eyes far beyond the situation that we are going through just now. It takes things in our lives that seem massive it takes the incredible weight of grief. It takes the enormity of the challenge of raising kids. It takes the crushing weight of sickness. It takes the bleakness and the darkness of depression or anxiety, and it causes us to lift our eyes and to see something greater, something stronger than all of those things, something that is able to get us through those things. It lifts my eyes, even when things are going well, beyond my own strength. And it takes me to look to my Father to ask Him that He might give me His strength, and that the power of my self-confidence and the size of my ego might become diminished, given the size of His strength, given the limitlessness of His strength, given the absolute assurance of His nearness, and given the sheer size of His love. All of it lifts our eyes to Him. Lifts our eyes to Him. And I want to encourage us in our prayer lives to lift our eyes that way. Might we be a people that pray for strength for one another, that we might be strengthened in our inner being, and that Christ may dwell in our hearts, and that we would begin to comprehend just how much He loves you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, would You grant to us, Your people, Your strength through the power of Your Holy Spirit? Would You fill us afresh today? Father God, would Christ dwell in our hearts? Would we know the nearness and the realness of Christ's presence with us? And Heavenly Father, would You open our hearts and our minds to grasp just a little bit more how much You love us, how much You care for us? Father, would You strengthen each of us, I pray, in Jesus' name.